Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Jenny Yang, who is the Vice President of Advocacy and Policy at World Relief. Their website is worldrelief.org. And we're going to talk about a drop in the number of persecuted Christian refugees being accepted here in America. And it's kind of a tricky thing, but let's deal with this right now. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right. Now, I read that the U.S. has resettled 413 persecuted Christian refugees recently, or in this year alone, an 80% drop compared to 6,446 resettled in fiscal year 2016. This parallels a 90% drop in Muslim refugee resettlement and a 97% decline in other religious minorities. Is it as if the Christians in other countries were basically losing out because the Trump administration was concerned about more Muslim refugees?
Yeah, I think the impact that we're seeing specifically on Christian refugees is part of what we're seeing larger systemically within what's happening with the refugee resettlement program. So historically, the United States resettled around 60,000 to 70,000 refugees per year. But this past year, the refugee ceiling was set at around 45,000. And because of different changes to the program, there has been several executive orders that actually suspended the refugee resettlement program. What we're seeing is a drastic decline in the number of refugees resettled to the United States overall. Now, at World Relief, we're specifically concerned about those who are persecuted Christians and that are fleeing because of them being followers of Jesus. And so our concern is that out of this huge decline, that the number of persecuted Christians specifically has dropped about 80%. And so, I mean, these are individuals from Iraq who are religious minorities. These are Iranian Christians that are persecuted because they can't live out their faith in a safe way in Iran. We're seeing even persecuted religious minorities from Burma and other places that are fleeing because of the fact that they are Christian, and yet they're not able to access the protection of the United States, even though Christian refugees actually since 2001 have been the religious group that has been the most represented actually in the U.S. Refugee Resettlement Program. So the U.S. Refugee Resettlement Program has actually been a lifeline of protection for persecuted believers around the world. And so I think our concern is that we're seeing a drastic closing of this avenue for many people who actually can't go elsewhere.
This is strange to me because it's, you know, I can understand the Trump administration saying no to Muslims that are unvetted or whatever, but with the Christians, he's even given lip service to the idea of, you know, helping persecuted Christians in Syria or whatever, in some of those hotspots around the world.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's so confusing, and that's why we're trying to raise more attention to what's actually going on, because actually when the president in early 2017 was talking about the refugee program, he said, well, I actually do want to help persecuted Christians. But because of the sweeping changes to the program overall, it hasn't impacted just one religious group. It's impacted everyone. And so I think there are ways to continue the vetting process. In fact, when you look at the refugee program, it is the most stringent vetting process of any person to enter into the United States. Refugees go through more thorough security vetting than anyone who's entering on a tourist visa or a business visa, and it normally takes around a year and a half to 2 years. And so when President Trump came into office, he, of course, wanted to take a careful look at the program, and so he had suspended the program, but in place right now are pretty stringent vetting procedures. In fact, statistically, if you look at refugees and instances of national security, there hasn't been a single refugee resettled in the United States who has taken the life of an American in a terrorist attack, which is a stellar record in any U.S. government-run program. And so I think our concern is that right now, yes, do the stringent vetting requirements, but also don't close the door on persecuted Christians that are meeting these requirements and are able to go through. Right now, there's a significant decline in the resources dedicated to processing refugees, and refugees are just, persecuted Christians are caught up in this larger dramatic decline in what we're seeing in terms of the suspension of the entire refugee program.
Yeah, so it, basically, I mean, it seems like the top story is kind of a repeat of the same thing, though. It's the Christians are losing out because the Muslims are scary if they're not vetted, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I think that, I mean, everyone in the program goes through the same requirements, even though certain nationalities actually have extra vetting. The Open Doors USA is an organization that actually tracks Christian persecution around the world. They actually found that 11 countries in which there's extreme persecution of Christians are actually the countries that we're not allowing refugees in from. So, for example, Eritrea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen are just some of the countries in which there is extreme vetting at this point. But these are also the countries that Open Doors USA has found to be the places where there's extreme persecution of Christians. And so the irony in this whole situation is that you're talking about areas in which people are fleeing those countries because they cannot live out their faith, because it's extremely violent or there's significant conflict. And so I think right now we need to have extra vetting, and that's what the government has been doing. At the same time, I think we need to continue to make sure after the vetting happens that the process is in place for persecuted Christians to come into the United States. And right now there is no distinguishing. I think the State Department can designate certain groups like persecuted Christians as priorities to come in through the United States. And right now none of that is actually happening.
Wow. I'm not aware of this, until you're bringing this to our attention. Tell us more details that we need to know about this, because it just seems very unfair to the Christians. Here they're, it's life is no picnic in Iraq or, mm-hmm. in Syria or whatever, as a Christian, and then they can't even get over here to America, which was founded by Christians, basically for religious liberty, which then was extended to everybody else.
Yeah, that's right. And at World Relief, actually in Florida, we have an office in Miami and in Jacksonville that partners through churches to welcome these refugees. And many of the persecuted Christians that are coming are now joining our volunteer churches, but even many others are coming and are encountering and hearing the gospel for the first time. And so even a lot of our volunteers are saying, I want to welcome refugees, but how come they're not coming anymore? And even specific cases of persecuted Christians at World Relief that we've been advocating for are now stuck overseas, and there's several examples of Christian families in the U.S. whose brothers and sisters or others are refugees in these countries and are not able to actually gain access right now to the program. And so I think right now it's been concerning, because the 45,000 refugee ceiling that was set for this fiscal year is the lowest ceiling ever since 1980. And so that was concerning to us, because we felt like the number could have been around 75,000. But even with the ceiling at 45,000, because of the suspension of the program and because of all of the changes that have happened in terms of the suspension and the vetting, we're seeing a significant decline even in meeting the 45,000 goal. And so right now for this fiscal year in 2018, we're on track to resettle around 20,000 refugees, which again would be the lowest number ever in history. And I think it's important also to remember that there have been more refugees resettled under Republican administrations than Democratic ones. In fact, the largest flow of refugees came under Ronald Reagan when he was president, because he felt like for the U.S. to welcome those who are fleeing communism was a way to promote our values of democracy. So in the early 1980s, we resettled hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese refugees who resettled to the United States and started their lives anew. And so I think this idea that of religious freedom and of protecting the persecuted is a core part of our values as Americans. And I think a part of enshrining that value is by accepting some of the world's most persecuted, especially those who are Christian, to come to the United States of America. So I think right now just the church needs to speak up and to say to our elected officials, especially, we want to continue to have the United States welcome refugees. Vet them as much as you can, but let's not shut the door, and let's continue to provide resources to provide the right vetting, and especially to take into consideration persecuted Christians as well.
Okay, you said earlier that there's a limit of 45,000 per year, but only 20,000 were processed just because of they're understaffed at the State Department. Is that what the problem is, or there's not enough resources dedicated to this?
Well, that's the thing that we're trying to actually get to the root of, that we are not sure why the numbers are so low. I mean, honestly, I think there's a sense within those at the State Department and even at the White House that maybe this isn't a program that they want any longer. And so I think our concern is that they are seeing the 45,000 as a cap, not something that they necessarily need to reach for.
Oh, and so, I see. Mm-hmm. As a maximum.
Right, and so it's the maximum allowed. At the same time, even though it's a maximum, both the Bush administration and even the Obama administration and bipartisan administrations have always tried to reach that goal because they know it's a valid foreign policy tool to allow in those who are persecuted. And or for another group that's coming in through the program are Iraqis that have actually helped their troops overseas in their mission and are persecuted because of their affiliation with the U.S. military. And even these Iraqis are not able to come in through right now. And so I think, again, it's a wide-sweeping suspension that didn't really take into consideration these individual cases. We're trying to figure out why is it that the State Department is not resettling these large numbers? Why is it that we know right now they're reducing the staff whose job it is to process these refugees and shifting them to other assignments? And so I think we really want to push the administration to say, hey, if you really care about persecuted believers, let's keep this lifeline of protection open for them so that we can continue to welcome these refugees, especially in really, really desperate situations.
When did this change begin?
Well, it really started in concert in early 2017. And so you may remember at the end of January 2017 that there was an executive order issued by the White House that basically suspended the refugee resettlement program for several months. And then from that point, there was another executive order issued in March that also suspended the program for several months. And so because of these various executive orders issued throughout 2017, there was three total, the program itself was suspended. And so, like I was mentioning, all these families that we've been advocating for in Iraqis are not able to come in when the program's been suspended. And so it just actually at the end of April, the Supreme Court is actually trying to decide the merits of these suspensions and the executive orders in terms of its impact and constitutionality. And so we're still waiting for that decision. It's going to probably be issued at the end of June. In the meantime, I think what we're trying to say is, look, the vetting process is secure. It's actually proven to be very effective in keeping out the bad guys. But even as you do that, let's not shut this program down, because we know it's literally saved lives. The other thing I think it's important for listeners to know is that the U.S. resettles less than half of 1% of the world's refugees. And so most refugees are not going to come to the United States. They're going to stay in places like Lebanon and Jordan or in Kenya, places that are really close to the countries in which there's conflict. And so when the U.S. government decides, in partnership with agencies like World Relief, to allow in certain refugees, it's really a very small number of people who they think are the most vulnerable. And so I think, again, that's why this program is so important, because we really are living out the value of welcoming the world's most vulnerable. And the cases that actually come in are ones in which they really cannot survive in the places of refuge, or they actually cannot even go home. Just this past year, we've partnered with hundreds of churches in welcoming these refugees. And it's the churches themselves that are saying, we see this as an opportunity to live out our faith, to welcome a stranger, like it says in Matthew 25. And I think there is a growing concern that, for some reason, at a time when we're seeing the most number of refugees in the world since World War II, this should be a time when the U.S. leans into that opportunity to show leadership rather than shrinking from that responsibility.
Okay. Jenny Yang of World Relief, worldrelief.org, for more information. Thank you so much for joining us. All the best to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. All right, bye-bye.